Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 11. This is God's Word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is one of the most famous and dramatic stories in the Gospels. It is not a myth. It is not make-believe. It is history. It is fact. It is truth. But what happened here? And how does it impact us? Well, first of all, I want you to think about Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. What was Lazarus' life up to this point? We don't know a lot of details, but we do know a few things. Based on what we are told in John's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, apparently Lazarus was a single guy. He was someone who was a close friend of Jesus, someone Jesus loved. That is emphasized twice in this text. Jesus loved Lazarus. But when Lazarus saw Jesus had chosen his apostles, Lazarus wasn't one of the 12. Jesus didn't pick him to be on the team. Ouch. I don't know. Lazarus might have said, "Glad I don't have to do all that." But then again, if Lazarus is like me, he'd be wondering, why didn't he pick me? I thought he loved me. Jesus did love Lazarus, but he always did what the Father told him. He lived apparently with his sisters. They didn't live with him. He lived with them. You read in Luke 10 the description of where they lived. It's referred to as Martha's home, living with his sisters. And now he's sick. And not just sick, he's dying. He's dying. And he's good friends with Jesus. Jesus, who had just famously done what nobody else could do, he had healed a blind man, a man who was blind from birth. Wow. The sisters told him, "We sent for Jesus." Okay? Hang in there. But Jesus, receiving word of his friend's illness, did not come. He stayed where he was 2 more days. What was going on? Well, Jesus is trying to work up his courage to go back to Judea. No. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He said, this sickness is not going to end in death. How did Jesus do the miracles? We keep saying this over and over again. He only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. And the Father told him to stay where he was. So he did. But see, Jesus wasn't supposed to go and heal him. Jesus was supposed to go and raise him from the dead. And Jesus was obedient. But if he's going to raise him from the dead, what has to happen? He's got to die. And so Jesus waited until he died, and then he's going. Man, that's not the way I would have planned that, especially if I was Lazarus. I'm struggling for every breath. I'm having a really hard time here. Where's Jesus? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you've got a gigantic problem and surely God knows about it and God has all power, so certainly he could fix this? Why? Why is he taking his time? Why isn't he here? Why doesn't he solve my problem now? The main point for today, even when we don't understand, Almighty God is working out the details in love. It's not that God has lost his power. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's that God has a plan, and as the Bible says, his ways are not our ways. They're higher than ours. God is God. He knows everything. He doesn't need our advice. And so when we pray, it's not to let God know what's going on and to suggest to him what he needs to do. It's in order to draw near to him and have our will conformed to his will.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out
his hand. So, now that Lazarus has died, Jesus says, he's asleep. He's asleep now. And he's talking about physical death. And they say, oh, listen, that's good. You know, I mean, we were thinking it's not a smart idea, Jesus, to go back to Judea. They were trying to kill you last time you were there. You may have forgotten that. I know you got a lot on your mind. But you remember they tried to stone you? You remember that? We sure do. And so we are recommending you not go to Judea. And Jesus says, no, we're going now. He's asleep. And they say, well, look, if he's asleep, you know, I know you haven't been to med school, but my mama told me, you know, when the patient sleeps, that can be a good thing because you need to regain your strength, and that's a way that the body sort of focuses on what it's got to do in order to mend itself. And so if he's sleeping, that's a good thing. That means he's going to get better. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. He's dead. He says, now we're going. Did any of this make sense to the disciples? No. I love Thomas's remark. He says to the other disciples, okay, let's go with him so that we can die too. I mean, as far as they're concerned, they're walking into a death trap, Jesus leading the way. I don't like this plan. Jesus is not worried. He's doing what the Father tells him to do. That's what matters. So they get there. And when they're close to the village, Jesus stops and sends word, and Martha goes out to meet him. Again, she's the one who's the organizer. She's the one who's very proactive, and she goes out to meet Jesus. Martha goes out to meet him, and she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. She doesn't say he might have lived. She says, I know what you're capable of. I know how you heal. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's going to be the same exact thing that Mary says. The same exact words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus responded to those words differently because of who was speaking them. With Martha, Jesus goes into a theological exchange. And it's beautiful. Some of the most important words in John's gospel. Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? With Mary, when she comes and says the same thing, Jesus knows this is a totally different personality. It's a different person. And Jesus simply responds to her, "Where have you laid him?" I want you to know that Jesus knows your personality. He knows what you're like. He knows what you need. He knows how to respond to you. The truth doesn't change. His love does not change. But he's not going to deal with each of us in the same way. He's going to deal with us according to our need. And so after he's met with the sisters, they take him to the grave. And Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And Martha says, "Lord, it's not a good idea to take away the stone. He's been there 4 days. He's really dead. So by now, there's a strong odor." And Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" That's what this is all about. It's not about our convenience. It's not even about our emotions. Though Jesus expressed not only emotion, but solidarity with the emotions of others. Jesus saw her weeping, Mary, and he saw the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping. And Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and he wept. But Jesus was doing what the Father had told him. "Take away the stone. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then he prayed, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." What is the reason why he is there when he's there to do what the Father sent him to do? It's in order. Back in verse 4, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus knows that his Father is sending him to do something that's going to blow people's minds. And so, having prayed, he said, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus comes out wrapped up in grave clothes, bound hand and foot. And everybody's just gasping, totally shocked. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." This scripture is the scripture down at the counseling center. If you look on the sign at the counseling center, New Life Counseling, at Ware's Valley Ranch, is about this. Our goal when we counsel with you is first and foremost that you would trust Jesus and receive new life in him. But after we are saved, we still have grave clothes. In biblical counseling, we want you to get out of the grave clothes, to get free from stuff that still binds you as a new Christian, stuff that was part of when you were dead. It had to do with before you knew Christ. And all of us have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. But when we are born again, we all have junk from our old life that we need to get rid of. You like that image? You like that concept? Does that make sense? Does that work well? Well, it goes further than that. Pause for a moment. Something most people never think about. What was Lazarus wearing under his grave clothes? Nothing. And Jesus didn't say, "Okay, Lazarus, you need to hop back up to the house and get out of those clothes." He didn't say, "Lazarus, you need to unwind all that stuff." He said to those who were close to him, Unbind him and let him go. If you are going to be helped by biblical counseling, you have got to be willing to be vulnerable, to be exposed, for people to see the real you as you really are. And that can be a very uncomfortable experience. But it is vitally important, because you got to get out of those grave clothes. You see, a lot of us would rather that the people who are nearby, instead of trying to get us out of the grave clothes, let's just get some magic markers, shall we, and color these and see if we can make them look like a tight-fitted suit. Okay? I mean, you can unbind my hands and maybe unbind my feet, but as far as the rest of the grave clothes, I'm not ready to try and make it without them. Those things don't belong anymore. They stink. And the stuff that was part of our old identity and life before we knew Christ stinks. We need to be willing to be rid of it. And in order to get there, we need some other folks who are willing to come alongside us and help us get unbound. So, Lazarus now has life again, and he gets free, and there's celebration. We find out elsewhere that there's a party thrown for him, and people come like crazy. They were already coming for, you know, his death. Now they're coming for his life, and they're celebrating, and it's wonderful. Isn't this great? And a lot of people are becoming believers in Jesus because he raised a guy from the dead. We saw it with our own eyes. This is real. Wow. In fact, so many people are becoming believers in Jesus over this miracle that the people who already wanted to kill Jesus are saying, we got to step it up. If we don't do something, the whole world is going to be convinced of him as the Messiah. So not only let's kill him, we need to kill Lazarus too. Now, I just have to pause long enough to say, think about how insane evil is. Jesus has just demonstrated that he's stronger than death. What shall we do about it? Well, let's kill him. Does anybody see a logical disconnect there? That was the response of the evil one. Let's kill him. Because he just raised a man from the dead. We can't let that go on. We got to kill him and the man he raised from the dead, because, I mean, we got to destroy the evidence. People have been trying to destroy the evidence now for a couple of thousand years, desperately trying to cover up the facts. They don't want you to know the truth, and they certainly don't want you to investigate it. So, isn't this wonderful? Lazarus was resurrected. No, he wasn't. No, he was not. Jesus brought him back to life, but Lazarus would, in fact, have to die again, not because the enemies of Jesus killed him, but because he was human. But Jesus would also die sooner than Lazarus. Lazarus is going to live a while. Jesus would soon be crucified. And he knew it. And he'd been telling his disciples. And they were refusing to process it. But it was still true. Jesus was going to die. But Jesus is going to be resurrected. The difference between Lazarus coming back and then dying and Jesus coming back is that Jesus came back as conqueror over death, never to die again. He's alive right now. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.